Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. I'm excited about having Bob Nagin back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is our top retail mind in the Brain Trust, especially. That's one of the things we count on him for. I mean, this is a guy, as I was telling you earlier in the hour, this is a guy who decided to sell kites 12 months out of the year, and he turned out he made a living at it. A pretty darn good living. Anybody who can do that is my retail expert, and he and his lovely wife Susan are the authors of Marketing Your Retail Store in the Internet Age. Did you hear that last part, retailers? Did you hear that last part? Marketing Your Retail Store in the Internet Age. I bet that made your ears perk up. Bob Nagin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here, and as always, it's a pleasure to have you here, Bob. It's a little too late to give my audience any words of wisdom for the holiday season, right? That ship has sailed, hasn't it?
That's right. Now the only thing to do is to mark all your holiday goods down, because you can sell it a lot easier at 20% this week than you can sell it at 75% in the middle of January.
Right.
But other than that, it's just hold on. Yeah, there's not much proactive you can do.
Yeah.
But there's lots of things that you can do in the new year.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think of many years ago? Actually, I hate to say it, but many decades ago, I worked for Sears.
That's right.
When I was in college and right after college, I was with Sears, and we had something called a 13th month. And
right.
It was the last week of the year.
Right.
The week after Thanksgiving was the 13th. After Christmas was the 13th month. And sometimes we did as much business in that week as we did the whole month of December.
Absolutely.
Or the previous 3 weeks, I guess I should say. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that, since your listeners are primarily smaller business people, not Sears and
That's
things
right.
like that, so there's a little bit of a different model here. But absolutely, one of the things that all retailers should think about is how do we use that last week, because people have money, they're still in the shopping mode. After the first of the year, they're going to shut down. So how can you creatively bring people in the store and make that last week into a great week?
And they got gift cards too, don't they, Bob?
They have gift cards. Gift cards are a growing phenomenon, and even if you're a small store owner, you can start to sell gift cards.
Well, let me tell you something else, Bob. We have given gift cards that was anywhere money. I mean, it was like a Visa gift card.
Yes.
So you never know. Don't assume because you didn't sell any gift cards that people aren't going to walk in with gift cards.
That's a great point. That's a great point. But I really want to stress to your listeners, and this last week, that part of the conversation is an important part of it, is don't hang on to your Christmas merchandise. Just in the last week, I've had two conversations. Somebody who was in my marketing mentor program, he took all of his stuff out from last year at Christmas. He took his stuff and he put it with the stuff that he didn't sell. He put it in the stock room and held it for a year. And
then
this year it came out, and he's going, it's still not selling.
Yeah.
And I said, so what makes you think if you put it in the stock room for another summer, it's going to sell next year? Eventually you get to the point where you need to dump it or donate it.
Well, I tell people when you try to decide what to do with your inventory, and it does hurt your feelings because you bought it, you thought people would like it, and they didn't buy it all, or you bought too much, and it hurts your feelings,
right.
And you don't want to fess up to that. But here's the thing: inventory is a euphemism for cash.
Absolutely.
When I was learning how to fly, Bob, my instructor used to tell me whenever he'd talk about whether I should go flying into bad weather or not, he said, well, here's the thing to remember. ask yourself when you're on the ground, would I rather be up there wishing I were on the ground or down here on the ground wishing I were up there?
Right. That's
and
good,
so,
yes.
So when you're holding on to your inventory, you know, past the first of the year, when you're thinking about that, would you rather be sitting here with whatever cash you can get for that and have that for January, February, or sitting in February looking at your inventory and no cash?
Absolutely. We used to laugh that the grocery store does not take our kites that we didn't sell that Christmas time.
They're a little funny about that, aren't they?
It's amazing. The bank doesn't want them either. How do you forget? What do you know?
They're just funny that way. That's right. Hey, Bob, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're having
sure,
a great time
absolutely.
And getting some good insights from our good friend Bob Nagin. Don't forget, folks, we're going to talk about how to market your retail store in the internet age. That's right now. And this is a very important information. I know that your ears are perking up. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bob Nagin. And he and Susan Nagin wrote a book called Marketing Your Retail Store in the Internet Age. And that's one of the things Bob and I are going to be talking about. Bob, you're helping us get ready for the new year, and we were talking about, you know, how much inventory should you sit on? What should you get rid of? You know, to me, Bob, anything that is not a staple that you can sell any month of the year, if it even has even a little bitty shade of seasonality on it, you know, if you need to sell it for a dollar and you have to sell it for a dime, I'd say let it go.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting because so my brother Steve and I, we started our store, the Mackinac Kite Company, when we were, you know, young. I was 23. I hired him when he was 17. So we really didn't know anything about retail. And then about 12 years into our adventure, we hired Susan, who became my wife, and she was a senior buyer at Macy's. You know, she was an experienced inventory manager. And the first thing she did was about mark half of our store on mark it down and move it out, and we almost always had a clearance sale, because one of the things that she taught me and that your readers should know is one of the most important lists that you can look at if you have a point of sale system, a POS system, is your slow movers. You know, mm-hmm. You look at those top 20 slow movers, it's almost as important getting rid of the bottom part of your list, what you're selling. That list, it's almost as important to look at the bottom as it is at the top. You know, your best sellers you want to stay in stock with. That's critical. But it's also critical that you move out, you get rid of your dogs so you can take that cash and either, you know, pay down debt or reinvest it into best sellers. So she made us a lot of money through these little insights that make all the difference in the quality of your bottom line.
Here's something that a lot of people don't understand when they start up, and that is that in the beginning, profit is not your biggest friend. Cash is your biggest friend.
Cash is king. You're absolutely correct.
It's not an accident, folks. It's not some silly little saying when people say cash is king. There are companies that can make it. Now you can't make it forever without making a profit.
Right.
But you can last, you know, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to last a year or two or three, depending on how capitalized you are, without making a profit at all.
Absolutely.
But the most profitable company in the world can't make it 45 days without cash. Maybe not 2 weeks without cash.
You're absolutely correct. I write a blog for the Gift and Home Channel, which is a new video training resource. It's actually kind of slick. Your retailers should check it out. It's online video streaming. But I write a blog.
What is it?
It's called the Gift and Home Channel.
Okay.
And it's giftandhomechannel.com. And,
right.
I mean, it's a real it's a great resource, and it's totally free. But I write a blog for new store owners on that network. And my first post was, don't spend your money. Because what happens is everybody, when they open a new store, they say, I got to get the word out. So they spend all of their money on advertising, thinking that they're going to get a lot of customers by buying the advertising, and then they'll have the cash. Once they get the customers, they'll have the cash. And to your point perfectly, no, hold on to your cash.
It's precious. Your cash is so precious to you. And, you know, another thing I see, and I see retailers doing this a lot, and restaurant owners do this, new restaurant owners do this, they don't understand the different levels of cash deployment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that there's some cash that you have to pay out that you need to write a check for right now out of your operating cash, and there's some things that you're going to pay for that you can't use operating cash to pay for. Don't buy. Yes, you got to buy food with current operating money, but don't buy a new fixture or a new piece of equipment with current operating money.
That's right. Yep. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, we just did 7 days of shooting. We're creating a brand new giant resource, training resource for retailers. And, you know, it's just to your point, when, you know, during these 7 days, the same group of people were in the room. And when we started talking about cash, you could see people's, you know, their eyes would glaze over, because when you open a store, you tend to open it because you have a passion for your product. I love snowing.
Yep.
I love kites. And all of these things that you've been talking about that show that you have true experience in retail, most retailers glaze over when you talk about that. So, you know, there's such a need for a complete skill set if you're going to be a successful small retailer.
Well, I tell people to separate your goods, your products, A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, A is the ones that you got to keep plenty of. B's you keep some of. C's you keep maybe one of those.
Right.
And D's, you never let a D spend the night under your roof unless it's already paid for.
Dump it or donate it.
That's exactly. I like that.
Yeah.
And by the way, Bob, before we go to a break, folks,
sure.
When I said a minute ago about not buying a piece of equipment with your operating cash, that's where debt comes in handy for your business. You got a piece of equipment that's going to last you 30 years. Finance it for 24 months. That's how you manage your cash with capital items. Tintail, we're right back. More good information from our good friend Bob Nagin. Stay with us.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and a beautician at the wheel.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust members and the newsletter and the blog and lots of stuff there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And, of course, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz, and use that to your advantage. Bob Nagin is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He and Susan Nagin wrote the book, Marketing Your Retail Store in the Internet Age. Bob, give us your website and tell us how we can find your book.
www.whizbangtraining.com, WHIZBANG, bang, not a bank like you put your money in, training.com. You can go there, and right there in the front is a big link that will take you to, that will help you, allow you to buy the book.
I certainly encourage you to, folks. And I'll tell you, if you're a retailer and you're trying to figure out how to get a piece of this online action, you know, you got to have retailers today, Bob, kind of have to have one foot in both worlds, don't they? One foot in the traditional Main Street, and then you got to have another foot in Cyber Street.
Yeah, well, yes and no. Absolutely, you have to have a web presence. And to sell online is optional, however, but absolutely you need to.
But you got to. But people have got to be able to shop online. They got to at least be able to shop online, don't they?
You know, I mean, that's open to debate. You know, if I sell let's say I sell vacuum cleaners, and yep. all of my customers are local. In that case, I would not necessarily have a shopping cart. I would absolutely
No, wait, Bob. I didn't okay. say they have to be able to buy online.
They
have to be able to shop online.
Yes.
At 11 o'clock, if somebody wants to see what kind of vacuums I have and the prices of those vacuums, so they know whether to come to my store first or not tomorrow when they're going out for vacuums, don't I need to have that? At least need to have a catalog.
Absolutely. And not only have a catalog, but even more important than that, your website needs to tell who you are and show who you are and really distinguish you from the competition. So
what your corporate values are and all that.
Values and let people feel like they know you. So there should be, you know, a good solid section on you and your staff and why you make a difference and all those things, so that when somebody gets off your site, even more important than saying, I know which vacuum I want, they feel like, I know that that I can trust these people and I want to shop with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that, in fact, adding personality and adding that trust and credibility, having that be an integral part of your site design, I think is one of the critical things that will, you know, for your readers to understand so they can have a great site that will make them money.
I really do think, though, that some people do get a little confused about this. Somebody helped me a long time ago understand this. Anita Rosen helped me understand this whole thing we were just talking about, Bob. She said, think of the cyber world as e-business, mm-hmm. big umbrella. Mm-hmm. And inside of e-business, there are three main categories. E-shopping, which is where you just have your catalog.
Mm-hmm.
E-commerce, which is where people can actually lay their money down.
Yep.
And then e-customer service, which is where after they buy from you, they can follow up and see how their order is doing.
Right.
And so in my opinion, that's in order of complexity and expense.
Right. Right.
And e-shopping is a minimum, isn't it?
It's a minimum, yes. Yes, absolutely. But I would go back and I would contend that a fourth umbrella, and to me, for your local retailer, I would contend that whole experience, that whole credibility and trust dynamic, trust-building mm-hmm. dynamic, is as important as the other ones.
Well, there's no question about that.
Pardon me?
I agree completely.
Yes. You know, I mean, because... So here's what... Local search is becoming so huge. So I live in Birmingham, Alabama. I move into town, and I Google vacuum shops, Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. I go through the three or four shops at vacuum stores that come up, and I look through them, and I look to see who's closest to me, and I look through the sites to see who I feel best about shopping with.
Yep.
And that sort of drives where I go. And
don't people look at your website the way they look at your store and see if it looks like it's inviting and if it looks like you care, you're going to care about them? That makes a difference, doesn't it?
It makes a huge difference.
Bob, give us your website again, please.
Www, of course, whizbangtraining.com.
Hey, Bob, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you.
Happy New Year. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.